Can you see the mess behind me? This is fun. So now that I'm kind of not working, that's like my stained glass and ceramics mosaic area. That's like the remnants of my office paperwork. Then like my art area over there. It's like a really big mess, but I'm getting rid of all my attorney accoutrements. I'm like, I don't think I want to do that anymore.
Get it out of your life so that you don't have to see it anymore.
I'm like burning sage, right?
Right.
And I saw that you recently also were like, fuck this job.
Pretty much. I started a new week of training on this new role, customer service with a certain government department, and I just couldn't get with the program. The more I looked at that particular government department, the more I thought, this is just communism.
Oh my God.
I don't want to do this. They've got themselves caught up in so much red tape trying to do anything. And all it did was make me think, what if we just didn't have a government? Would we really be any worse off? I don't know.
I see that with insurance where it's like, if you just paid for the person to get their fucking broken leg fixed.
Yeah.
Instead of paying 15 managers to reject the authorization first, you would probably have a lot healthier people and spend less money on insurance, right? Oh God, I've seen it where adjusters will spend money so that they can spend more money. They're like, well, we can't settle this lawsuit until we really know how injured they are. And you're like, well, look at their medical records. You know, they went and got an injection into their neck.
Oh, Jesus.
People don't just go get injections. Then they got surgery. And it's not like people go get surgery for no reason. And even if they got surgery and they didn't need it, let's just give them the money. Because they're desperate to go get surgery.
We'll give them one.
Yeah, give them the fucking money. It's going to go to the goddamn doctor anyways. But no, the adjuster would be like, we need $5,000 to $10,000 on a doctor who will look at the medical records for us and give us a report as to whether or not we should pay this money. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you want me to hire an expert so that the file said that you were supposed to pay the money? I don't know. It's really weird.
It's layers upon layers of stupidity.
Everything is confusing. It's hard to live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I thought going to law school was going to really prepare me for like, I will be able to navigate this world in a reasonably intelligent manner. And I'm fucking every day going, get me out of this.
Yeah, it's bonkers. You know what else is bonkers? Mormonism.
It was funny. I was listening to the episode that you just did with Jones and he was complaining about going to the marches. First of all, kudos to him. Great dad.
I know. I don't think he knows how awesome he is.
Like, it's hard for me to go to the grocery store, right? Like, Brad says I'm ADHD. Like, he has diagnosed me. I refuse to get a real diagnosis from a real doctor, even though Brad is a real doctor. Like, I had to go in today at 10. I had an emergency call for the library not too long ago.
What's an emergency for the library sound like? Oh, no. The fish are eating the pages.
No, there was a deadline to file something with the government in order to ensure our funding by midnight.
It's always bullshit red tape.
It's not red tape. So you say it's bullshit, but when you get into it,
it's jumping through hoops. I hate it.
No. You know what, patience? You should run for some kind of local office, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because that's when you learn that it's not all bullshit. And if it is, maybe you can change.
Can't change it.
Because here's the thing. We get certain money in and we have certain responsibilities with it. And we have to make sure that we don't waste it and that people don't embezzle it, because we did have somebody embezzle like $1 million from our library a few years ago.
What?
Some woman, she was writing checks. She would go to Red Lobster, casino. She was just writing checks out of the library funds and there was no money to pay for anything. All of a sudden people were like, wow. So the board members were like scrubbing the floors at night until they could rectify this. And it was a big scandal.
That is a big scandal. Jesus.
That's why it's important for people that are in local government to be people like me. I have a background in law. I have some level of ethical, moral belief system that's not based in anybody's religion. It's based in just law and an understanding of what our social norms are at this time and precedent, right? I have a Southern California background of culture. Okay. I'm standing there making sure that our library does not do those things with your money. And so I get an email twice a month showing all of our invoices that I've got to go and review. There's a process. you might find is fascinating how much money is flowing and where it goes and where it comes from. And when it's done right, we just repaved a road and we're about to build like a whole addition to the library for community hall. We've got children's programs. We feed kids during summer, which we're about to lose the funding for. And I am going to do stuff to try to make sure we get the funding for it. I'm not curing the problems in Gaza, but I'm making sure that some kids in Santa Paula have lunches in the summer. Like, I don't think that we can ever solve the bigger problems. I think that we have to go hyper-local.
Until you can't say anything else. Maybe that's a good way to live, you know?
I'm going to go crazy otherwise, right?
Uh-huh. Because it's too much information. And if you do have ADHD, focusing on local is a good idea because it simplifies things down to what you can manage. It's like when you go shopping and you get too many options, right? You need something that cuts it down. I know I do.
Oh my God. That's why everything I own is blue, because somebody once said, blue is the color of the sky, so you can't look bad in blue. There's a shade of blue for everyone.
Blue, like my emotions.
And so do you know what I decided? When you go shopping on the internet, everything has to be blue, size 10 to 12, and a dress. Now all of my clothes are this or a blue dress.
And then if you're like me, when the dress arrives, the waist is always 6 inches too high.
My problem is I have a short torso.
You're a woman. That's normal.
A petito.
Uh-huh.
I found out the other day that I'm really 5'5". Well, I thought I was 5'6½". So when I was buying clothes online, I was telling the algorithms I was 5'7" because I wanted my dress to be long, but I couldn't figure out why nothing fit. Because when they do your length, they also account for a longer torso. And I was like, why doesn't anything fit? I don't understand.
And this is why I wear shirts and skirts.
But it's a frustration for every woman.
Mm-hmm.
It took me until I was 45 before I realized I'm just going to wear dresses, basically.
I would wear more dresses if they fit well.
See, Empire waist maxi dresses fit every woman because it just goes to your boobs and then it goes down.
It's not that they don't technically fit, but I want something that maximizes shape so that you can see what I'm working with.
I just want something comfortable that I can have a nap in.
I just want to run through a bit of the Mormon news.
Yeah.
Some returning Mormon missionary gave Post Malone a Book of Mormon the other day. And Brother Benjamin said in the chat, he lives in Utah. He probably has a whole shelf full of them already.
Or a bonfire pit. Is he Mormon? I don't know.
I doubt it very much.
Who is Post Malone?
I don't even know. Hey, he's some rough looking rapper.
The fact that he did something with Taylor Swift makes me like him because I like Taylor Swift.
He looks like a homeless person.
He's a rapper and singer, but is he Mormon?
No.
Why the freaking hell does he live in St. George, Utah?
This is the thing. I think a lot of non-Mormons live in Utah now. Apparently, at the international airport at Salt Lake, they now corral all the Mormons that are visiting to see missions on and off or whatever. And it's like, you guys go over there instead of just taking up the whole fucking area. Just keep yourselves in check over there.
So they're hiding the Mormons.
Just sort of keeping them in line a bit.
Why did somebody's decide suddenly that Utah was cool? I mean, it is beautiful, but it's like, God, the Mormons and their laws.
I don't know. Brother Benjamin lives there. He's arguably the coolest person we know.
I know, right?
There's a story I got to tell you about.
Go ahead.
In this new training group, there were two Muslims. One of them went full burqa, so she was a woman, just completely covered, just slit for eyes. And the other one was a man, so of course he didn't have a burqa. And this is online training, right? So we've got to be on video chat the whole time. That's the way it works. I wouldn't have a clue who she was.
No, you wouldn't.
Everyone else is showing their lovely face and you're getting those cues, but not with her.
No.
And then sometime in the afternoon, they're like, be right back. I'm off to pray.
Yeah.
They just go and pray.
I love it.
It's like, keep religion out of the fucking workplace. I wanted to show up the next day with a sheet over my head and be like, well, she can do it. Why can't I?
Why does that make you angry?
Because they're doing video chat teaching. We've all got to keep our cameras on.
Do you have to show your face or could you put in an avatar or a filter?
Why don't I just chuck something over the camera then? Maybe they should just do these things without video cameras.
Yeah, I don't think they should require it.
All of this online work done on video video chat. I just don't think it's good. It wasn't good for me.
No, I agree.
Didn't feel like I was doing anything. I mean, I wasn't. It was just stupid e-modules that didn't make any sense.
I get it. I think that it's actually illegal to force you to see your face in some situations here in America. Like, I don't think they're allowed to do that. But anyways, I get it. It's weird. It's a fight because I don't want the Mormons telling me that I can't show my upper arms.
Right.
Yeah, so there's give and take.
There's give and take.
I don't know where I stand on the burqa and driver's licenses. Because here's the thing, we have to be able to identify you. Can we do it just using your thumbprint, though? I don't know.
Do we have to have a government? Then we don't need to have an ID card.
I think we have to have some way to organize people.
No, you're right.
Right?
People will demand it. People want to be organized. People love being controlled.
Well, as soon as somebody rapes your daughter in the village, you're going to want some rules, right?
Well, what would happen if there wasn't? The response would be a family would then go and kill the person that did it.
Yeah.
So justice would still happen.
But is that the right reaction?
Probably not.
So then you have to have some kind of tribunal so that you don't have bloodshed.
And then we get a bureaucracy and it all goes to hell anyway.
See, here's the thing. You know how Joseph Smith was such a martyr?
Oh.
Right? Brad and I were sitting in the pool the other day and I was having him listen to a podcast. Every time you and I were like, thanks, Celestial, Brad's laughing. And I said, Brett, nobody told us in church that Joseph Smith had a criminal history. We just thought that he was martyred. I am learning even as an adult about what was in the actual written history. Joseph Smith probably should not have been shot the way he was. There should have been a trial because it allowed for the church to go on with these lies to be told. It never came to light what he was doing.
Yeah.
And because it never came to light, people didn't have the ability to lose faith in their leader. Does that make sense?
And then maybe there wouldn't have been a Brigham starting committees.
Who knows what would have happened if justice had been done the way it should have.
Some people on Reddit noticed that on the 4th of July celebrations, there were about 30% of their friends or whatever that were Mormons wearing garments. That's a good thing because it's really, really bloody hot and they're not wearing their garments. So that makes sense.
They can't do it anymore. It's
no,
just too much.
It's too hot. It's too much sweat. The women hate it. The men hate it. Come on now.
And you know that's the first thing to crumble is when they stop wearing the underwear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting subjective comment. Also, I noticed in the Mormon Shrivel subreddit, someone actually posted this handbook that listed like the numbers since its inception of the Salt Lake Bonneville stake. And it goes from the year 1976 all the way through to the year 2014. I really wish it had the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But it just shows how a stake loses numbers and then gets reshuffled. Like some wards were moved from the stake and some wards were combined along the way. When one stake loses numbers, another stake will gain numbers if they move it around. So you can't prove anything with it, but it was at least interesting to have some numbers. And this is right in Salt Lake City.
In the 1990s, you saw this peak where the 20-year-olds were staying. So you had a lot of youth activities. All of these ward buildings suddenly would get split. And so we were going to like the 9 o'clock sacrament. And then our friends would be going to the 10 o'clock sacrament. So we were no longer in the same ward. And the only time we would see people would be at Mutual on Wednesdays, where you got to see the different wards or like the dances. After that, the internet. Okay, 1997. That is when it starts going down because people can go and Google everything that they do in the temple. So people come to their doors and start peddling Mormonism and people could Google Joseph Smith and find out all of the truth, not anti-Mormon stuff, but just history.
Uh-huh. In 1976, the whole stake, 4.6K people. 1990, 4.4.
Okay, it's gone down.
Wow, they lost more than 1,000 between 1990 and 1991. Two wards moved out of the stake. So that was a stake reshuffling. So it's not necessarily that they lost members.
Okay, so that could be that they had so many that they had to split?
Well, did they start with too many? Because it's only been getting less and less.
Yeah, okay, so keep going.
Well, 1995 was the last year that they had above 3,000. Then 1996, 2.9K. 1997, still 2.9K. That's pretty close to what you were saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish I could see the numbers too past 2014.
Yeah.
Anyways, anything else for the Mormon news?
The church has changed the age range that is considered YSA.
Young, single, adult. adults. Okay, this is interesting. 18 to what now?
18 to 35.
You know why they're doing that.
Because there's no youth.
Expand the age range because they've got a lot of single men and women on this end of it.
Uh-huh.
And divorced people maybe.
I just think there's a giant chasm there in general of that whole age group. So to get any numbers, they've got to expand it.
Yeah, if you were single and you were 30, they put you in the ward with the families.
I know, right?
Maybe just let people come whenever they want.
First come, first served.
Don't be like, okay, all the single people with uteruses go this way. All the men with working gonads go this direction. Come out the temple with baby. Like, you know, like it's social engineering.
Well, of course. I don't think they're backward in coming forward about that. I mean, I think they want people to hook up and have kids.
Part of the religion's draw is that social engineering. I don't know where people go to socialize nowadays.
I don't know where people socialize either because humans are just tired.
Are the shit?
Yeah.
Thank God I don't have to date. Oh my God, if I had to date people nowadays.
I could date, but I don't. Because what's the point? What is the fucking point?
If you were to tell me that I had to go and like find a new man, How much work is that?
It's a lot of work.
Go take care of another person? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Too much work.
You know?
It's crazy.
I think what the church is suggesting is to create two groups within it that get split at the 26-year-old line. So you've got your 18 to like 25 and then your 26 to 35 groups. So those cohorts will do things together.
Yeah.
They're not saying that both ends of the extreme should be marrying. They're saying,
right,
hang on, they still have a common problem, and that is they're looking for people to marry.
People are getting married later too.
Right.
Not all women are getting married right out of college. So 35 is not an unusual age to get married.
Right.
That's not old maid.
It just means you're smart if you've managed to make it to 30 and not get married. Something else has been going on except hormones in your brain, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe you've invested in your career because really, if you haven't, you've got a trust fund. Your option is relying on another person forever.
Right.
And that's a scary option too. Like get
that
more insurance.
Scary.
And my sister did. Sorry to say, insure him.
Sounds like people just aren't finding people they want to marry. Fancy that. Religion and the state make marriage so unrewarding. What's the upside?
Have babies. Boom, 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 boom. Make more babies. Wear these bad underwear. Didn't somebody at conference, they made a joke, men, women, 3-1. Like, it was so many women.
Right.
And so few men.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, so who wants to clean up afterwards? Ladies, ladies.
What are you doing?
Don't you realize that the minute you step out of this cult, your fish in the ocean, it's like going from like a ditch in a gully with a bunch of bottom crawlers to the whole world of men, to all the religions and all the non-religious men. And the men that wear ugly underwear and the men that don't wear underwear at all. And the men that wear all kinds of underwear. Whatever you want.
Go and find that man.
Go and find underwear for you.
There's a man out there that wants to jizz on your face and you're gonna hate it.
Sharing their seed. However you want to do it.
Hop onto the apps.
Thanks, Celestial.
You're gonna love it.
Instead of just having one planet.
You like the apps.
You can have all the planets.
I was reading the Salt Lake Tribune's article on some of the growth stats. And basically the upshot of it is, yeah, the church is growing, but it's mostly in Africa. And then somebody posted underneath that, church growth is mainly in uneducated third world countries, ? And since smart members leave, I guess the collective IQ of the church is in a death spiral.
They open up these churches and people are getting taught English.
Right.
And people are told that the kids can do soccer in the yard that has like a nice soccer field if they join the church and they baptize you. And they're like, yeah, sure, baptize us. The church coming in every day baptizing people. Like, they don't care the brand of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So your prophet puts in a nice church that's connected to America and they teach English? Sign me the fuck up.
You know, it's not just the promise of America either, because here's a story that's a little closer to my home. In Tonga, and we have a lot of expats from Tonga in Australia.
I'm like, I don't even know where that is. I'm Googling it, but go on, yeah.
It's in the Pacific.
Okay.
And there was a story on the church's website. Some general authority from there was having a chat with the Prime Minister from Tonga. One of the things he was talking with the PM about was education and English education. And I'm thinking that would be very relevant there because Tongans would want to get their English level up so that they could move to Australia and get the job that they've always wanted. Mm-hmm. So the church puts themselves in as this necessary part of the whole pipeline.
What is the religious population there?
I was speaking with some of my Tonga friends from work. They were saying there's white person church and then there's like Indigenous church.
Do they go to both?
Well, here's the thing. These were Indigenous people saying they preferred to go to the white person's church because it was shorter and church was boring. Whereas if they went to like the local Tongan church,
like it would just go all day.
Right. It's a whole day thing. They eat and it's boring as fuck.
But they had a choice to go to one or the other.
Yeah, they had a choice of one or the other. And one of the white person options is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I can see on Wikipedia, they are 18% of the population, and the Free Wesleyan Church of Tonga is 36%. Roman Catholic, 15%, then Free Church of Tonga, 12%. The LDS. They've been sending missionaries there since 1891.
I wonder how that went over when black people couldn't even get priesthood until the 1970s. How does that work? Did they just have different rules there? Are any of them reading their Book of Mormon or the Doctrine of Covenants? I mean, what's going on over there?
The Mormon Church is a very particular singularity.
It really is, isn't it?
And to me, anything I can do to bring it down is a good deed.
Oh, absolutely. In all of this world of confusion, there's one thing I'm sure about. I fucking hate religion.
Oh,
and I'm going to focus on this one for right now.
Yeah.
I chucked chapter 6 into some large language models I've got here to see if it could turn it into some humor. It's only an 8-verse chapter. I asked it to rewrite it so that it was amusing. We can read the real thing in a moment and see how close it is. Behold, it was utterly absurd that after Alma had finished preaching to the people of the church in Zarahemla, he decided to ordain priests and elders by laying on his hands. It's like he thought he could just wave his magic wand, hands, and suddenly everyone would be saved. Then came the rule that those not belonging to the church who repented had to be baptized into repentance before they were allowed in. And what about those who didn't feel sorry enough? Well, they could just go take a hike. The whole thing is as merciful as a heart attack.
Oh my God!
That's just the first 2 verses of it.
Can you keep going?
Verse 3. And wouldn't you know it? Only the humble and remorseful were allowed to stay. It's like being saved by a mirror. If you ain't perfect, you're out of here. What kind of cruel world do we live in? Verse 4. So they established the order of the church in Zarahemla. But let's face it, it was just a bunch of made-up rules designed to keep people on their toes. It's like the opposite of a support group. Verse 5. God's word, according to Alma, was as elastic as a green banana. What the fuck? Seriously, could anything be more absurd? I'm pretty sure everyone just chinned out at this point. Who wants to listen to the same thing over and over again?
I mean, it is repetitive. I mean, it really is. You know how all the Mormons always say, like, how could anybody ever write this? Like, and it's like, dude.
Have you read it?
Like, go through this.
Just read it.
They force you to read this in seminary. It's not like you go home and you read this because it's like Tolkien. No, you go home and you read Tolkien and then you have to read a chapter of this.
Right.
Because it's repetitive and boring and it doesn't tell a good story because it was written by somebody that was uneducated and he didn't do a good job. Even Christopher Paolini, that wrote that book about the dragons, who was like 12 years old when he wrote it, did a better job writing a story about dragons than Joseph Smith did writing about the Nephites.
I'm totally sure.
So I was kind of correct on that.
Verse 6. And yet, despite all that, the kids of God were told they should get together frequently, fast, and pray for the souls who didn't know better. I mean, does it get any sadder than that? It's like organizing a pity party for the entire world.
The AI's humor is just kind of awesome.
Uh-huh. It renamed Children of God as Kids of God. Verse 7, then Alma decided it was time to move on from Zarahemla and relocate the church east of the River Sidon into the Valley of Gideon. Yeah, because fleeing your problems with a bunch of strangers is totally the best solution.
Oh, it's been working for them all the time. They keep doing it over and over and over again.
And let's not forget about how they named a city after some guy who got hammered and killed. What a great role model.
How weird.
That's not entirely correct, according to the story.
But I mean, people have been hammered and killed in these stories. So I'm like, which one is he referring to? Like,
well, Gideon did get killed, but I've told it to just make shit up and make it funny.
Oh, I love it.
Last verse. And so Alma went there to spread the word of God. He went to the church in Gideon and started talking about his revelations, or rather his dad's revelations. That's a good one.
Is that correct?
Well, yeah, he's the second Alma.
So wait, we're at Alma 6, did you say?
Amla. Amla's a fruit with antioxidant properties that's very good for you.
Ask your doctor if Amla is right for you.
It's nearly finished, all right. Since he didn't seem to have any original thoughts of his own, it's like he was just another cog in the great machine of prophets, doing nothing more than regurgitating what came before.
I can't believe that's coming out of AI.
And this is like a really scaled down version so that it runs on my machine.
I appreciate it because here's the thing. I hate reading this book. It is really the book of boredom. It is horrible. I told Brad, I've been doing this almost 2 years. I like talking to you, but I hate reading this fucking book. All right, let's do it quick because this is the worst part of the job.
Why don't you take the first four?
Yeah.
And then I'll take three, and then you can take the final verse to finish it up however you deem fit.
I mean, I have a feeling there's not going to be as much seed in it as I would like.
You twist it your way.
Yeah, let me do the thing and then I'll do the first four. The church in Zarahemla is cleansed and set in order. Alma goes to Gideon to preach. About 83 BC.
Oh.
And now it came to pass that after Alma had made an end of speaking unto the people of the church, which was established in the city of Zarahemla, he ordained the priests and elders by laying on his hands, according to the order of God, to preside and watch over the church.
Yawn.
Not as exciting as the way you've just read it, right?
Not as exciting as Dolphin Llama 3. That's the name of the large language model.
And it came to pass that whosoever did not belong to the church, who repented of their sins, were baptized unto repentance and were received into the church. And it also came to pass that whosoever did belong to the church that did not repent of their wickedness and humble themselves before God. I mean, it really says that.
Joseph is a valley girl.
I mean, those who are lifted up in the pride of their hearts, the same were rejected, and their names were blotted out, and their names were not numbered among those of the righteous. And thus they began to establish the order of the church in the city of Zarahemla.
I thought the church was already in the city of Zarahemla. Isn't that like the main city they've been in for ages? I don't get it.
He's clarifying because somebody's taking it down word for word, because that's why it says, I mean. Maybe he's recapping in his mind. I mean, look, how many days did they say he was doing this?
I don't think anybody really knows, hey.
Well, you know what? You've got to go to bed.
Yeah.
You forget what happened. You're not translating something out of a stone. But if you were translating something word for word, you would not have paragraphs like these.
You really wouldn't. This is not the word of God, clearly. Verse 5. Now, I would that ye should. Oh, that old phrase. Don't you just love it? It just rolls off the tongue. Understand that the word of God was liberal unto all.
What?
Bullshit. That none were deprived of the privilege of assembling themselves together to hear the boring word of God. Oh, the privilege.
Oh, this is a lecture about coming to church.
They were just dying to get there.
He's like, you've been given the opportunity to come and give us money.
That's right.
And the privilege.
It's a privilege.
That he humbles people and he rejects them in the sight of God and all this. But it's not because God wants you.
That's right.
You've had the privilege of coming here and giving your money.
What a system. Verse 6. Nevertheless, the children of God, or as the AI said, Dolphin Llama 3, kids of God, were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer. I wonder what makes prayer mighty. Do you say it extra forcefully or something? Like God can't hear you?
But they don't pound on the pulpit though.
Ah.
So it must be emotionally mighty.
Emotionally draining prayer. In behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God, why don't they just mind their own business? But no, you got a busybody. Verse 7, and now it came to pass that when Alma had made these
regulations.
Wow, aren't we fancy with our bureaucracy? He departed from them.
Yeah.
From the church, which was in the city of Zarahemla. Why are you saying it again after a year? Because you're trying to think, aren't you, Joseph?
Right.
And went over upon the east of the river Sidon into the valley of Gideon, there having been a city built, which was called the city of Gideon. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait, it keeps going.
Which was in the valley that was called
Gideon.
That's the third time.
I know.
Being called after the man who was slain by the hand of with the sword.
Because he didn't want to say the name Gideon again.
Yes.
Because if he could have, he would have said this. Into the valley of Gideon, there might have been the city built, which was called the city of Gideon, which was in the valley that was called Gideon, being called after the man who was called Gideon. That's what he wanted to say. He was like, I'm saying Gideon too much. And this guy's looking at me funny and he's still writing Gideon.
And the horses outside thought he said giddy up. And they were going, Nahor.
And Alma went and began to declare the word of God unto the church, which was established in the valley of Gideon.
Oh, my God.
According to the revelation of the truth of the word, which had been spoken by his fathers. And according to the spirit of prophecy, which was in him, according to the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who should come to redeem his people from their sins and the holy order by which he was called. And thus it is written, Amen. So wait, how many times did AI say Gideon?
Once in verse 7 and once in verse 8.
Okay, I much prefer the AI version. But at least I did not see as much seed.
That's amazing. A chapter without seed? What the hell? What's going on, Joseph?
I really appreciate anytime we get to have a podcast where I only have to read like that many chapters of this horrible book.
I have a hard time getting people to read this with me.
Because one guy who was horny and greedy
yes. wrote a book.
Wanted to figure out how to make some more money on the side.
He wrote a book when writing a book was still cool.
I'm going to go look at politics now and see if Biden has stepped down since we've talked. All right, I'll talk to you later.